I received a really wonderful blessing this morning. I was out in my garden about 6 o'clock when it was still a little cool. It wasn't real cool, but it was cooler than it is now. I was out there with the hoe, and I was removing some weeds around the okra. Some folks up north, that's okra. But I was thinking about how we need to remove things from our lives that keep us from bearing fruit, because that's what the weeds will do. They will keep you from bearing fruit. And God has instructed us to bear fruit. We may be in the vine, and there was one place that there was a tree there that wasn't bringing forth fruit, and the Lord said, cut it down. And that gardener, I guess it was, said, let me dung around it one more season. It might bear fruit. It's my desire this afternoon to bear fruit. I appreciate it. We sang the song about the garden a while ago, and that was the song that was in my heart this morning as I wandered through the weeds and the corn and the green beans that didn't bear because the grasshoppers ate the blooms off of them. But I had some good-looking plants, but few of them bore any fruit. Now, we can be good-looking as we're sitting out there, but are we bearing fruit? I again ask for an interest in your prayers. I think this will go along with this. We had the tendency to care about self. We come into this world thinking about ourselves. I'm an expert at that. And my children were pretty good at it, and my grandchildren are great about it. Love my grandchildren, but my oldest is, he's 8 now. He told his mom about 3 years ago that he was getting sent to the principal's office, and she told him, if you just be good, you won't have to go to the principal's office. That evening, she asked him if he had been good. He said, Mom, I tried to be good, I just can't. I understand that. I was told, you know, when I was growing up, and I wasn't blessed to be raised in an old Baptist church. I was raised in a Southern Baptist. But they would tell me, if I'd be good, I might get to go to heaven. Couldn't make it a week, Brother Don, from one week to the next. One Sunday to the next, I couldn't be good. Jeremiah says there's none good. Well, I think it was Jeremiah. No, not one. The heart is desperately wicked. There we go. Who can know it? So how are we going to be good enough to get to heaven? How are we going to make the right decisions to get to heaven? It really bothers me when people say that Jesus has done all he can do. That's not a sovereign God. My part is the receiving. I believe in a personal Savior. I believe I walked with him this morning in my garden. Excuse me. We serve an awesome God. And the song, like the song says, one of my all-time favorites, and we sang it where I grew up, is How Great Thou Art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Scarce can take it in. Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. God's exalted him. Do we exalt him? If we think he's done all he can do to get us there and we're not going to make it unless we do, then we haven't exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. You know, there's folks out there we talked about at lunch that will never know this. Never had that opportunity to make that choice, but will live with him in heaven. Because he finished the work. We're all about ourselves. I find a king in the Old Testament. It's all about him for a few chapters there. He makes a golden image to himself. They all bow down before me. Is God able to turn the hearts of the king? I believe Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven. Just look at his testimony. None could stay his hand or say, "Why doest thou?" You ever ask God why? Why is this happening to me? I spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking to a lady, and I praise God for the little ministries we have that's not here. That's people that we come in contact with that may never set foot in an Old Baptist church, but that we get to tell them that God is sovereign. And that he may be working on you. You count yourself blessed to know that there's something wrong with you. And that you can't do it by yourself. And that you're not, I'm not, I, you know, I just can't feel like I'm receiving this. Or I can't feel a connection there. Well, join the club. Sometimes I don't feel a connection either. Because it's not about me. It's about him. It's about Jesus. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Let me get that right. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Have we exalted him? Sometimes I hate to say this, but I know it's true. We worship the church more than the Christ. We worship the cross. Well, we don't, but some worship the cross more than the Christ. It's the Christ. It's Jesus. Let's look for just a moment, and I want to just praise his name. Lord, help us. Let's go to a chapter that proves it's all about him. The whole book proves it. But man has distorted all that. They got confused about salvations. There's more than one salvation. There's more than one death. How about Ephesians chapter 1? Let's see who does the action, who's the recipient over here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, because he decided I want to be have a career in ministry, because I want to go to seminary, because of this or that. No, it said Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. To the saints. Y'all are saints. Did you know that? You don't have to go to some board to make you a saint here if you've done enough. Well, whatever. Grace be to you, saints. And peace. This young lady I've been talking to, and this has been several times going on, she is, you know, there's a warfare going on inside of her. She didn't know how blessed she is to know that God is working in her, drawing him closer to her, and she hadn't found peace yet. She don't understand. Apostle Paul said he gloried in tribulation. He bore the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ on him. Grace be to you and peace. Not much peace outside these doors. And thank God there's peace in here today. But sometimes there's not peace in the church. We ought to be grateful and thankful for that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We've got some of them today. Praise God. In heavenly places in Christ, according, in agreement with, Brother Ong, you taught me that 10 years ago, maybe 12, I don't know. Time goes fast. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Who did the choosing? Just choose, just make the choice today. We do have a choice to make, by the way. But that choice has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. He says, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, take up your cross, follow me daily. And it says similar to that in Matthew and Mark, but it doesn't say daily on that. So we need the whole council. We need all of them. Daily. In the Old Testament, this may not quite fit, but I like it. What did Joshua say? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Who'd you choose to serve today? Well, we chose to come to church to serve the Lord, I hope. I could have made the choice to stay in the garden, I guess, but the garden's in bad shape anyway, so I needed to come here and get fed with the spiritual food, not the natural food that I might get in the garden if it rains. And if the grasshoppers would all fly somewhere else. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Well, the folks just don't understand that. Folks I come out of didn't understand that. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated. Us. Who's predestinated? Us. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. According to the good pleasure of His will. It wasn't grandma's. It wasn't daddy's. It was His will. God has highly exalted Him. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accept it. We didn't accept Him. You know what? You know, just live that good life and you'll be accept His work. Say the prayer. Do this and do that. Outrun the devil all your life. But you know what we have? You realize what we have? There ain't no peace in the other. But there's God's children in there. To the praise of the glory of His grace. We've received that spirit of adoption. Would you cry, Abba, Father, if you didn't receive the Spirit? He's your Father. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I'm so thankful for that. See, I started to talk about Mark. The apostle said he He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I bear some marks too. From sins. Sin will mark you. And sometimes it's hard to. The only way I can. I'm so thankful for forgiveness. For my sins. And that they've been washed away.
I've been redeemed.
And so a lot, the Lord tells us, and I didn't want to get off on this, but it seems like it's on my mind, and not to put marks on it. Not to, there's no, bear no cuttings in our flesh. Bear no marks upon you for the dead. Because I am the Lord. I don't want to get off on that. But there's a lot of young people here that I don't see them purposely putting marks on them on their bodies. I had that discussion with a young man at work. Actually, he's my boss. He thought if he got this cross put on him with a, I don't know, something that said God on it, that'd make him more religious. And they were actually in his little youth group at church. They were promoting that. I said, brother. And I took him over there to Leviticus. God said not to do it. And he had a, and thank God he didn't do it. Then he had a discussion with his wife because she wanted to do it. And you know, there's so many folks doing it. And I just say, it drives me crazy. You know? People's got choices to make. Choose something good. You know, you could have used, and it really gets me because those of you don't know, I work at DHS. And I see folks come in there that's all marked up. And I said, you're coming in here for help when you spent all that money on yourself. That's about self. It's not about Jesus. I'm going to skip a little bit. Having made known unto us the mystery. Yeah, he says in one place that blessed are your eyes for you see and your ears for you hear. Do you appreciate that? I hope we do. Sometimes I think we take for granted. Oh, I'm saved by grace. But we live like it? Do we exalt the one that saved us? Or do we get a little bit hard, church, when he tells us to let brotherly love continue in Hebrews 13? He tells us, he gives us a new commandment, that we love one another. I was going to tell you a little story about this. I hope it will help us about this okra. I went out there to harvest it this morning, some of it. I didn't get a quarter of a gallon, maybe. Every time I'd walk by there and look, I'd see another one I missed. And I'd walk by and back this other way, and I'd see another one I missed. And I saw some that had been there too long and had gotten hard. I thought about, you know, that's kind of like an old Baptist. He may have abided in the vine so long he got hard. Hard against those little children. You know. Hard against. Not forgiving one another. I'm not saying we condone gross sin or heresy. I think we could show a little more love one toward another. I think we could instruct one another. I think we can do like the scripture says, and if a brother's offended, you go to him, not to everybody else. I appreciate, we had a deacon, Brother Allen, over at Tuttle. He'd call you. He's been gone now about 15 years. If he thought he had offended you, he'd call you. Was Don, did I offend you? Brother Harry, I don't know what you're talking about. But the spirit that he had, he was so sensitive to those round about him. He had a wonderful spirit. missing. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He's the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In him we live and move and have our being. In Christ, who is our life. Is he? How much happier are you? How much more at peace are we when he is? That's the choices we make when we exalt him and put him where he ought to be. He humbled himself. He tells his preachers to humble themselves. And Peter. Because there's a roaring lion out there that seeks to devour you. I was thinking about what, as the preaching was going on this morning, about what the Lord told Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? You know the story. Feed my sheep. He didn't say, drive my sheep. He didn't say, lead my sheep. He said, feed them. Feed them then. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lamb. Lord, you know I love you. I love the story of looking at the at Peter from that Peter that was there that was willing to take the life of that servant of the high priest, and he would have if the guy hadn't ducked because he took his ear off. He's either a really bad swordsman or a really fast at ducking, one or the other. And then he denies him three times. But you see him on the day of Pentecost in that great sermon he preached. You see him over there being, I can't remember what the terminology was, being thought worthy to be beaten with stripes, because, and then also they took knowledge of him that they'd been with Christ. We see a different Peter after the resurrection. Willing to go to any length. Willing to die for his Lord. He told him he'd die for him before that, but he didn't, did he? And as history says, he wouldn't even be crucified like his Lord was. Oh, that God would give us the boldness to speak in his name about him. Now they were told, don't you preach in his name no more. Don't you do it. Didn't we tell you to not do it? They beat them. They put them in prison. We got pretty good. You know, we make the big sacrifice to get in our air-conditioned cars and drive to our air-conditioned churches and think we've suffered. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. As I was thinking about them, some of them weeds that we need to get rid of in our life, I started thinking about Galatians chapter 5. What the fruits are. And there's some things we need to get rid of in our life, I think, and I know we do. There's things, because there's the works of the flesh. And I'm beginning to hit them weeds, that hole, and I think there's another, I'm getting rid of that. You know? Wish it was that easy. The works of the flesh. You know what they are. The first ones, we probably don't have much problem getting rid of adultery and fornication and lasciviousness, uncleanness, idolatry. Idolatry, which is covetousness, which is idolatry. Did goes back to self, doesn't it? Oh, there's something shiny. I got to go see about that. You know, we're so distracted by things of the world. If it's red and shiny, well, I'm gone too. But we're so distracted. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. You have any problems with wrath? James says it like this. He's swift to hear. Swift to hear. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. And slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You be at peace with God and be angry. You have peace and be angry. Obviously, if you're angry, you don't have peace. I don't care who you're angry with. I can get very angry with what's going on in our country. What I should do is be praying for our country. Y'all familiar with a scripture that says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Did you hear the first part of that? If my people. Even my old Free Will Baptist uncle knows that much because he and I talk about it all the time. Actually, I think he's a missionary Baptist. I'm convinced that they come right out of the ones where the split was back in the 1820s or 30s. Because they don't even associate with those over here that's a little bit more progressive. Well, some of them's in Arkansas. I saw some Arkansas tags out there a while ago. I just came back from Arkansas. Well, I actually have to confess that I got to looking at my heritage, my Wynn heritage, and there's 134 Wynns buried in Arkansas. I didn't go see but three of them while I was out there. But as I understand it, back in the early part of this country, there was one Baptist church. They believed what we believe. I understand that some of our, that possibly George Washington was baptized by an old Baptist minister. Abraham Lincoln's grandfather, maybe, or was an old Baptist. I found evidence from my grandfather, who was a missionary Baptist preacher, of his grandmother being an old Baptist. I found a Fishing River Association booklet from the 1800s and his stuff. We have a lineage, and it's back to Christ. It goes past Arkansas, back to Christ. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. The fruit of the Spirit. We ought to cultivate these. Love. Joy. You know, I really love an old saying that my grandmother had that Brother Allen knew her. In fact, I think he baptized her. She had come from that same missionary bunch. But she had this saying, and she was the most precious sister. And I long to see her in heaven, but I want to see Jesus first. Heaven might be a little sweeter because Grandma's there, but it's sweet because Jesus is there. And it's because of what he's done. But she's had this acronym for joy. It's Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Right. Isn't that kind of what Jesus said was the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Peace. Long suffering. Oh, wow. Long suffering. But you don't know, that old brother gets on my last nerve over there every time I see him. Long suffering. He even goes to the point over there and says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Does Jesus' way work? Gentleness. Meekness. I got a little ahead of myself. Gentleness. Goodness. Now, I can't be good. Not in myself. Faith. Heard about faith today. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous. Oh, I think that we need to take a hold of this. Let's not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We need to take a hold of that, or the Lord will. This is His book, His instructions to us. We ought to read it daily. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. That's hard. Because I kind of like me. But I don't. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, now you said it probably, you know, pretty well this morning when you said, you don't feel worthy to stand here. But I stand here by the grace of God. And by the will of God. I wouldn't have wanted to be in here. You wouldn't have seen me close to this place 20 years ago. I was one of them sitting back there and holding on to the bench for 17 years. Wrestling with the flesh and with the Lord. The Lord won. I hope. But it is all about Him. And when we exalt Him, aren't we so much more at peace and at ease and at rest? I'm concerned, and I'll read this and might probably just shut up, but this has been on my mind, this one verse, and I want to read it to you. And I'm concerned about our country, and I'm concerned about the church, and I'm concerned about being a one-talent church, too. But there's a scripture that I've been reading off and on for a number of years in Amos chapter 8. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Yeah, we're going through some very weird, strange things throughout the world. Earthquakes and droughts. And I mean, we're in a severe drought. especially over in Texas and western Oklahoma. But there's flooding over in, was it Nebraska? And over along the Mississippi Valley. Earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, famines. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. A lot of people don't care. Just don't care. God help us. Listen to this. And they shall wonder from sea to sea. God's still able to work, by the way, because he's working on that sister I work with. I hope that she finds peace. She won't find it in herself. And she knows that now. She's been going through some really hard stuff. Results of choices she made in her youth. Marks, if you will, that she bears. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. Well, I'm going to have to study that out sometime, from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And in that day shall fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. But I rejoice in that 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people. That's a formula, by the way, for the salvation of his people. For the salvation of this country. I took some medicine a while ago and it just dried me up. I'm drinking something. Let's exalt our Lord. Let's exalt him as what he is. Sovereign. He has all power in heaven and earth. Let me read a little place in Colossians real quickly and I'll close. If I miss my appointment, it's going to be my fault. I told him I had a 4 o'clock doctor's appointment, but I called him and told him I might be late. Apostle in 1 Colossians, he has this prayer, and it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, if you think you just got baptized, and you just sit down, and you're saved by grace, and I'm just going to wait till the Lord comes back and sing once in a while and preach or pray, you got more to do than that. You need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. He says over in Peter, add to your faith. All those things it says to add to you. And I'm not going to read them to you. You go read them. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. He didn't ask you if you wanted to be created. I didn't ask my mom and daddy if I want to be created. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. You were created for His glory, according to Isaiah 43. He's called you by His name. You're His. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Your next heartbeat is from Him, but He can stop it. The next breath you take is from Him. And He is the head of the church, the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things He might have preeminence. That's where He needs to be in our lives. He needs to have the preeminence. Thank you. God bless you.